All right, now I want to talk to you about the gospel. You know what the Bible is all about? It can be summarized in 6 words. Right? They're up there. God offers sinful people eternal life. G-O-S-P-E-L. That's good news. It's the greatest news story ever printed, ever told. I was not alive on V-Day. Victory in Europe Day, VE Day, and VJ Day after World War II and the victories over Germany and over Japan. But I tell you, that was good news when they announced it, wasn't it? Can you imagine being able to say the war was over? Well, I've got even better news than that. It's the greatest news ever printed. It's the reason behind every page in your Bible. Now, we're going to start from the end of that phrase, God offers sinful people eternal life. We're going to start from the end and end up at the beginning. And going to find out that God is offering something for anybody who will take it. And I hope you've got it. If you haven't, that you'll get it today. I'm going to pray one more time. Father, bless what we're about to hear. Help me preach like you would if you were here. Lord, I pray you just take over. Speak to every heart. Lord, there may be distractions. Lord, the wind, we can't stop. But we can hear from you. I pray you just help us calm our thoughts and our heart onto your word and help us to know that we know who Jesus is and that he can save and he will save anybody here. Lord, I'm proof of it. 44 years ago. Lord, I've never regretted one second of it. I pray that you would please work in our midst, especially among somebody who has no idea what it means to be born again. I pray they understand and they act on it today. And just bless the fellowship that we have today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what a thought. I already said all that. Get up here. This thought of eternity. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. You probably know it's called the Gospel of John, isn't it? So the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 13. We're going to hear Jesus speak. I like listening to him. I'd much rather listen to him than me. Jesus speaks in John chapter 3, verse 17. Chapter 3, I said verse 13, sorry, I meant 13. John chapter 3, verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven. Think about that for a second. I mean, they get up to the moon, they get up to the space station, they get up there, but nobody's worked their way to heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. I wonder who that was. Even the Son of Man, which is where? That's funny, only God, the Son, could be both on earth and in heaven at the same time. So he starts off by talking about himself, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, pointing to himself, the Messiah, also be lifted up. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but talk to me, but have what? Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Let's look at verse 16 now. Why don't you read it with me? Say it out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. For God, now let me just finish reading this one. Just listen for a second. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. We're already condemned. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus, through him, might be saved. Here in the Gospel of John, we have two very powerful words mean the same thing, basically. Eternal life and everlasting life. What does that mean? Forever life. You know, we're so infinite. I'm sorry, we're so finite. Let me put it that way. We're so limited. We're so small in our thinking. When we think of life, we think of 80 years. My mom just turned 90. We find out about somebody who's 103. We go, wow, that's a long time. Really? I mean, these evolutionary scientists get up there and they talk about hundreds of millions of years ago and billions of years ago as if that's a long time. Really? You know what a Bible believer knows about? You know what I find out when I read the Bible? I find out about something called eternity. Now, that's a long time. Eternity. Can somebody just comprehend that word, eternity? Something that is infinite and goes on forever. I mean, it blows my mind when I try to think about it. There's a book in your hand that you're holding that tells you that God offers sinful people what kind of life? Eternal life. Now, your parents gave you your life. Some of your parents wanted you, some of them didn't, all right? But they gave you your life, but God wants to give you eternal life. What is that? You see, it's not just endless time, but endless life. Again, when we think of life, we think of what we can get, what we can enjoy. We think about what the people that we can hang around with, the kind of popularity we might have. We think that's life. We think the kind of fun that we can have. We think about how dressed up we can be and how smart we can get. We think about what we can enjoy, where we can go, what we can eat. We think that's life. I grew up with guys who would sit on the beach with 2 6-packs of beer, sitting back, surrounded by all the other people, looking at the waves, watching the sunset, going, this is the life. I know other people who own big houses. They got indoor swimming pools. They got jacuzzis and saunas. They got 3-car garages. And they think, now this is living. And I got news for them. It's only dying. You see, in a moment, it could all be gone. Huh. Those parents die and it'll be argued over by the kids. It could be burnt to ashes in a fire, crumbled in an earthquake. Huh. And if it's a divorce, it'll be fought over for the next 4 years in court. That's not much of life, is it? Take your Bible, turn to Luke. You were in John, go to the left, find the Gospel of Luke now, chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. Again, when God offers something, he's not offering endless time, endless money. He's offering endless life. Think about it for a minute. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, he's talking to a crowd, and he says, take heed and beware of, what's that next word? Covetousness. Covetousness is never being happy with what you've got. You always have to have more. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesses. I remember one Christmas dreaming, the night before Christmas, that I could get so many toys that I'd have to create a walkway through my room to get to the door. I know I wasn't the only kid that did that. But we thought that that was life. We thought of accumulating things. And Jesus said, don't think that just because you have more than somebody else that that's life. Verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, story here, with a very powerful point, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He was a farmer. And he thought within himself, saying, well, what am I going to do? What shall I do? Because I have no room where I can bestow my fruits. I don't know how to store it all. Verse 18. So he says, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, bigger ones. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And that's a plan. I mean, your business is going well. You've got more inventory. You've got more money. You get a bigger bank. You get bigger storage room, bigger warehouse. I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? But watch the next verse. Verse 20, beware of the words, but God. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You're going to die. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There is so much more to life than the things that you can own, that you can hold, and that you can play with. God talks about something called eternal life. Jesus calls it the abundant life. The life that is more than you can hold. Life that, you know, don't you wish sometimes that you had one of those coffee cups that as you drink it, it would automatically fill up? We're waiting for those inventions, you know, it would just keep filling up. But that's the abundant life. It never runs out. Life, it is a life that we all know we tried so hard to find in a bottle or at the end of a needle. Maybe amongst some of the friends that we had, or down at work, or in our marriage, we tried to find fulfillment in life, in our family, in our kids, in our grandkids, and they're all fine. But that's not life. We never find it there. No. Yet God offers sinful people what? Eternal life. What kind of life do you have in this world? You can probably have a pretty full life for a while. You can do well with your job. You can have a family. You can have a busy life all over. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people who have a very discouraged life, very empty life. These are all the kind of lives that we can experience. But what does God offer? He offers eternal life. Matthew, your Luke, go further left now and find the Gospel of Matthew. We're checking out the Gospel, aren't we? Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Hang on a minute. All right. I keep her up. I keep my enemies close to me. That's what I do. Matthew, you are not my enemy. Matthew chapter 16, pick it up in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, lose it, drop everything. Take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever is going to try and save his life, you will do what? You're going to lose it. There was an experiment done years and years ago, back in the 1950s. They put a bunch of chimpanzees in a room, and they put a jar of chocolate chip cookies in the middle of the thing. One of those monkeys would smell those chocolate chip cookies in his hand, would go, and he'd grab like 10 of them. And he couldn't get his hand out. But he wouldn't let go. And the other monkeys are pulling them off. They pull them off. And the other monkeys are pulling in. And every one of them trying to get those biscuits, those chocolate chip cookies, they couldn't get one of them out because they were holding on to it. I'm going to tell you, you'll never find eternal life as long as you're holding on to the things of this world. You're going to have to let go. You say, but I've got a past. I've got trauma. I've got trouble. You have to let go of it. Well, I've got sin. I don't know how God could forgive me. My family won't forgive me. My parents won't forgive me. You're going to have to let go of that. Because God offers sinful people what? Eternal life. And Jesus Christ says, if you will let it go, if you'll deny its power over you, turn, and you'll follow Jesus Christ. He says this, verse, where was I coming? Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life, you're going to lose it. But whosoever will lose, let go of his life, for my sake, you're going to find it. Why? For what is a man profited? What's your benefit if you gain the whole world? Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, all those guys put together, they're just a drop in the bucket compared to the wealth that's in this, that's in the ground, in the planet, and the diamonds. If you could own the whole world, and yet you lost your soul, you've lost everything. There's nothing to compare. If a man, what does a man profit? In verse 26, keep reading. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You have nothing of the same value as your soul. God offers eternal life. Four things that eternal life is. Number one, it's a forgiven life. Once a person gets born again, you are able to move on. I know you might have had a counselor, you might have had doctors, you may have had friends, family say, just move on, and you can't. I know you can't. I know what it's like. You have something that's just got a grip around your thoughts, a grip around your emotions. You got a grip that won't let go. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ will break that grip.
Amen.
If you deny that by letting go of it, that's all you can do. Now, it's still got a hold, and you turn to Jesus Christ and determine to follow him, he beats up your past, and he breaks that bondage, and he makes you forgiven. Everybody says, you need to forgive yourself. I got news for you. You need God to forgive yourself. Once you get his forgiveness, it is a life. It transforms you. There is no greater life than a forgiven life. There's no perfect life. There's nobody in this room who's perfect. We all need to be forgiven. Second thing that the eternal life is, it's a free life. No longer under the condemnation of the wrath of God. Some of you don't realize how much trouble you are in with God. I mean, if you saw the guard pull up alongside your house, you might be afraid. I've been caught. But you know, the guard is not your problem. God is. But if you get forgiven, God's off your back. There's no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? No longer under the dominion of sin in your life. Instead, you now are free to live. You now are free to fail. Amen? Before you became, if you're not saved, I'm going to tell you, you know what it's like to fail and then to fail. But you know, as a Christian, I can fail. And you know what? It doesn't ruin me. That's not my life anymore. That's not where I live. My life is hid in Christ. I keep following him, and he just gets me home. My failure doesn't matter anymore. Amen. It's a free life. It's a full life. Some people think we come to church and it's boring. It's not empty, man. It's not boring. It's full of promise. It's full of hope. I got new abilities when I got saved. You're looking at a guy who, if I had my druthers, I was 17 years old when I got saved. Do you know what? I was a photographer. I was into astronomy. I was into all kinds of things that all good things, basically. Okay. But I was not interested in God, but I wasn't interested in people. I would rather be fishing by myself or out under the stars at night drawing what I could see under my telescope, or I'd be rather be, we used to develop our own photographs. I'd take pictures and I'd just develop. I'd rather be by myself, and here I am standing in front of you and loving it.
Thank God.
See, God did that. This is not natural for me. It's not natural for anybody until God steps in and says, I need you to do this. You go, yes, sir. And he just helps. He just gives you a full life. I've never had a better life for the last 30 years. There's no, I wouldn't walk up to Jeff Bezos and Amazon or Elon Musk and say, let's trade. I couldn't trade this. I have a much better life. I think his stress level is to the moon and back. This is much more fun. This is much more full. Whatever you taste on Sunday, I hope you realize I get to enjoy every day of the week. I get to do this all the time. Amen. It's a full life. Now, it's not perfect. Don't you think for a second that my life's perfect. But I'm going to tell you this. Eternal life is perfect. Eternal life is infinite. It's in every direction forever and ever. If you could, you know, you remember as a kid, you'd go into one of these big places where there are all of these games and places you say, oh, pick me up in 6 hours. Remember that? Do you know what? Eternal life goes in all directions forever. You'll never run out of things to do forever and ever and ever and ever. God offers it. And it is a forever life. That's my point. Not even death of the grave can stop you from enjoying it. You know, we've buried some people, some of them on purpose. Come on, wake up, you guys. Smile a little bit. We've buried some people. It's been awful grieving, going there to that grave, having the funeral and stuff, and you weep with them that weep, and it's hard saying goodbye. But we go to that grave, we drop that casket in there, but they're already gone. If they're saved, they're already gone. If they're lost, they're not in that body. You think about where they're at. If they're saved right now, you know what they're doing? They're having the fullness of life. They're not wanting to come back. No. Amen? This is a forever life, thank God. And I got news for you. My forever life began 44 years ago. The moment I drop dead right now, I enter into the life that I've had for 44 years. I just keep right on living. Yeah. And right now there are people, if you know Dennis Linehan, he's been doing the Irish jig for the last 4 years, 3 years. Amen in heaven. Think about it. Jonathan's up there. Think about it for just a moment. It's a forever life. When Jesus, God offers sinful people eternal life. That's a good thing. It's forever. Go to John, Gospel of John. To the right, Gospel of John chapter 11. Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25. John 11, 25. Jesus, now, Jesus is talking to, he's speaking to two women, Mary and Martha, about their brother. This is not his mother, Mary. This is another a couple of friends. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were some of his good friends. And he's talking about their brother who had been dead 4 days now. All right? One of the women said, behold, he stinketh. I mean, it's like, we don't want to get near that body, okay? But he's talking to them, and he's telling them that their brother is not dead. Watch this. Look in chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus saying to her, I want you to know this. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, speaking of Lazarus, even though he's dead, yet shall he live. Put this in your mind. Again. Now that's just, you know, you may have to bury me someday. But I'm not dead. No. I believe my Bible, folks. You may bury this body, but I'm not dead. I mean, in order to blow your mind, look at verse 26. Jesus goes on, whosoever liveth and believeth not in my church. I saw somebody had a sign that says, there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. I got news for him. There's no salvation in the Catholic Church. There's no salvation in the Baptist Church. There's no salvation in any church. Salvation's in Jesus. In him alone. He says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? Say it with me. Never die. And then he asks, do you believe it? Because if you believe it, you trust. I've been to the doctor. And the doctor's had to do some things sometimes. One time he had to remove my appendix. I tried to make sure he got on the right side. Okay. And go for the appendix, not the kidney, okay? But there's a time where I believe that he's qualified, that he's well-trained, that he knows what he's doing, and then I let him go, amen? I let him do what he's got to do. And some of you, oh, you believe in God, but you won't trust him. You won't let him reach into your heart and wash away that sin and bring forgiveness there. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you believe this, really believe this, that I can take even death and bring you through that and keep you living forever? John chapter 6. John chapter 6. God offers sinful people what kind of life? Eternal life. John chapter 6 and verse 66. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Does that ever happen? All too often, people come and they go. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? You quitting too? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of, say it with me. All we've learned from you is this thing called eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Isn't that awesome? You know, Peter and the apostles, they wanted eternal life. And I hope you do too. I hope you want this as well. Now, what does God offer? Who is God offering eternal life to? She's got it. God offers sinful people. We're working backwards. We started with eternal life. Now we're in the middle. Sinful people. Eternal life. What kind of people can access such life? Sinful people. It's people who are imperfect people. People who could never live up to the expectations of ever entering into the presence of God or ever. You know, I've had people that ask me, says, where are you going when you die? Oh, who knows? I says, well, do you think you'll go to hell? Well, I'm not that bad. You think you go to heaven? Well, I'm not that good. Where are you going, man? And the confusion is all there. We don't really know. We're talking about normal people. But you know who gets to go to heaven? Sinful people. Isn't that wonderful? There are no perfect people in heaven. Only forgiven people. Only people who have received the gift of eternal life. You can't bring God down to your level and negotiate with him and, you know, pay him off and come in the back door. There are no back doors. Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you could manipulate God, you know, if you could say, God, I've been to church 3 times a week, you know, that's good enough. If you could manipulate God, he's not worth serving. He's not worth loving. I mean, a God you could buy off and you could impress. I mean, who can impress God? He's just like everybody else then. But when you realize that God, who's all perfect, all holy, stepped down into this world, in this universe, stepped down into this life, and said to the people around him, he says, come to me, I want you. That's where we start, with sinful people. And we're not just sinful people, but we're talking about dying people. You're in John chapter 6, go back a few pages to John chapter 3. And let's read verse 16 again. John 3:16. What kind of people get the gift of eternal life? It's perishing people, dying people. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved you, man, the world, everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what's the word? All right, that's my condition. I'm going to die. I'm one heartbeat stop away from death. And I hope somebody can go over here and start it again if it stopped. But I'm one heartbeat away from eternity. You see that thing? And we're all on the edge of death. At any moment, we could be gone. And Jesus Christ came to this world to save those that are perishing so that I could have the gift of eternal life. Now that brings up a subject. What's the opposite of eternal life? Eternal death. You see, life that goes on forever has an opposite, and that's death that goes on forever. Hell is not a pretty thing. Nobody likes to talk about hell for good reason. But hell is a place where you're dying and you never finish dying. It is a death that never ends. Eternal life is life that never ends. Do you see why Jesus came? Because he's trying to save us from a death that never ends. Some people say, when I die, I'm just going under the ground. I had a guy, I says, where are you going when you die? He says, Belfast. I said, what? And he said, they're going to bury me in Belfast. I said, okay, all right. But where's your soul going? People think that that's all they've got. And they're going into a grave, maybe in Belfast, maybe in Normandy, maybe somewhere. I'm going to tell you, you better know there's another place you could be headed, and it is either to eternal death that never ends or to eternal life. God offers sinful people what? Eternal life. But if you don't receive it, that's the other side of the coin. I know it's an old-fashioned concept, talk about hell. I know it's people don't like to hear about it, don't want to think about it. It puts them off. How could a good God send people to hell? People want to go to hell. They don't want to be with God. By the way, God is a good God, that so much so that he became a man and took the punishment for all of your sin, and it's your rejection and neglect of that that sends you to hell, not God.
Yes.
So the point is this. Sinful people, young and old, can be marvelously changed, can be saved, born again by the Spirit of God, so they can start to enjoy life and explore life forever and ever and never grow tired of it. John 10:10, you're in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John 10:10. The thief here is the devil, but he shows up on the stuff you watch on TV, shows up with your friends, shows up. He's working in every influence in your life. Watch this. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Wants to rob you of everything good and to kill. You know what the devil would like to do to every one of us? End our life, man. Destroy us. He came in. The thief comes not for to steal, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I'm come that they might have life. They might have it more abundantly than they could imagine. Folks, God offers this gift. It's a gift. You're in chapter 10. Go to verse 27. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. They listen to me. And I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them, what's the two words? Isn't that wonderful? Here he is again talking about eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish now. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God personally makes eternal life available. It's free. It's free to you and me. There's nothing more that nothing I could do to earn it. I couldn't pay for it. I don't have enough money to buy eternal life. I couldn't even offer my own life for it. There's nothing that you or I could that we have in our possession that could pay for our soul. So guess who it costs? God. You see, what's free for me costs God everything. Romans 5:8, you don't have to go there. Romans 5:8 says this: God commendeth, God extends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's his gift. It cost him God. It cost God his son. It cost God his time. You think about how long God's been waiting on you to finally sit down in church and hear the gospel. I mean, honestly, when I was 16 years old, I was you call it right, a ripe Egypt. I had 3 brain cells and 2 of them were dead. And so I would go racing Saturday night and with my buddies, we would go on these old dirt roads and stuff. and I got one bad turn, and I and my best friend in the car, and we flipped that car three times. I don't know how I and Claude Garrett, my friend, walked out of that car without a scratch. Did I think of God? No. Did I think of my mom? Yes. How much trouble I was going to be in. But I should have died. You know what God had to do? He had to put up with me being stupid for a long time before at 17, somebody gave me the gospel and said, are you ready to get saved? And that memory of, yeah, I could have died. I would have entered not into eternal life, I would have entered into eternal death. And she got my attention. It's a gift. It costs God. God is waiting patiently. Isn't that a thing that he has? How many like going somewhere and waiting on your wife? She's been in there 7 minutes. 70 minutes. I mean, waiting. God is waiting. Some of you, you're 50 years old and you still go, I'm not getting saved. Not yet, not yet. You know, God, it costs God waiting on you. You know what else it costs him? His love. Do you know what God does? He pours out, extends his love to people who will never take it. You stand somewhere and people spit at you, mock you, make fun of you, and you hand out a gospel tract to them. You tell them God loves you, and they say things such hateful to you, you're beginning to feel what it feels like to be God, who just keeps extending love instead of revenge. And he keeps waiting patiently. God, listen, God has to do some things to save us. But he willingly did it, didn't he? It cost God everything. Would it be a shame if somebody offered you the greatest gift you could ever have and you neglected it? Last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Where's Cindy? Cindy comes in and brings me a little bucket of biscuits. Now, these are not your normal biscuits like Kemi made. These are American biscuits you pour gravy on. You're going, ah, but they're not sweet. So she gives them to me, and I go, oh, I haven't had homemade biscuits, real American biscuits, in forever. I've been here 30 years. So guess what I do? I put it down and rush off. 3 days later, I'm pulling papers off, and there's that bucket. It's too late. I neglected it. She still hadn't made me another set. She will. Believe me, she will. But I didn't intentionally. I just put it off, didn't I?
I got busy.
But isn't that a wrong excuse when it comes to the gift of eternal life? You're too busy to receive the free gift. You know, most people just don't think it's important enough. I tell you what's important. Euro Millions hitting 100 million euros. Somebody comes along, has a winning ticket, and says, there's no name on it. Who wants it? Now, what if I did that? What if I had a Euro Millions ticket? It's the winning ticket. It's worth 100 million. None of you should ever go gambling. Don't ever think that I'm encouraging you. But if we found the winning ticket, it's got no name on it, and I held it up here, who wants it? How many of you would kill to get over each other to get it? There'd be none of you going, oh, I'll have to think about it. I'll pray about it, Pastor. Well, not today. There's too many people ahead of me. You'd be walking on air to get over here, walking on heads to get up here to get that win, wouldn't you? Some of you are too embarrassed to be honest.
Everybody say yes.
Yeah. Because we value that. But if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what God is offering you, you wouldn't wait for me to finish the message. You would right now bow your head and say, God, if that's true, I want it. You don't have to talk to me. I'm no mediator. I'm just a voice asking you, consider the gift that God is offering you. And he offers it on the back of Jesus Christ. You think about that whipped back. It costs Jesus Christ everything to give you that gift. And it's eternal, man. It's a gift. It's eternal. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 6. We're just about done. Romans chapter 6, if you find that in your Bible, Romans 6, in verse 23, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then comes Acts, and then Romans chapter 6. You need to see this with your own eyes. Romans chapter 6, and verse 23. If you've never memorized a verse, you've got two scriptures you need to memorize, John 3:16 and Romans 6:23. Read it out loud with me. Ready? For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what's missing there? Mary, the church, the priests, even you. The gift is given to you through Jesus Christ. He's the means, he's the method, he's the purchaser, he's the giver, he's the savior. Talk to him. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And did you notice it's free? I'll just say it over and over and over and over. It's free. God offers what? Sinful people eternal life. I got to say this. It's forever. I just keep repeating it. It is the best life ever, forever. The moment I got saved 44 years ago, next week, the 15th of June, next Sunday is my spiritual birthday. I like remembering that birthday because I'm younger on that birthday. I'm only 44 years old as a Christian. Don't ask me how old I am now. It's my spiritual birthday. The moment that I got down out of a chair at a kitchen table, a guy named John Cranford, who I just was with last month, led me to Christ, told me the gospel, said, you must be born again. This is not a yes or no or hum or haw or I don't know. No, you got to be saved. When I got out of that chair, I didn't have to tell me what to do. I got on my knees. I bowed my head. I began to cry out. And I literally cried and said, God, I never knew this was available. I never knew you wanted me. And if you love me, and if you gave yourself for me, I'll take you. I'll trust you. I'm asking you now, save a wretch like me. And I'm telling you, there was no ding. There was no lightning. But there was a... There was like, forgiven. There was like, let's go. It was like, beginning. I can't explain it, but I knew God had said, done. Not what I had to do. There's nothing I could do. But at that moment, but I'm going to say this. That was the beginning of my eternal life, and it's only getting gooder and gooder and gooder. As a Texan for better and better and better, if I have to translate. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians. You're in Romans, go to the right, find the book of Ephesians. You got 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then comes Galatians and Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. What the Bible's going to describe here is something called eternity future. The ages to come. I mean, God just likes to talk about stepping out of this short vapor life. And talking about eternity, watch what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. If I get back there, I miss it. And you hath he quickened, we'd say resurrected in our soul, who were dead in our trespasses and sins, where in time past, this is how you lived, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, you're just following the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's the spirit we all have. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now that describes every one of us before we got born again. If you're not saved, that's who you are. You may not want to admit it, but that's your life. You're just going along with the crowd. You're just doing what everybody else is doing. But that's not the whole story. Look in verse 4. But God, there's a good but God there. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us, resurrected us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, not by works. But he goes on, verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is marvelous. If I never got anything else from God, I got forgiven.
Amen.
The grace of God reached me, and it saved my soul. But that was just the beginning. Look at the next verse. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, that's eternity, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what God's going to do 25,000 years from now? He's going to say, hey, everybody! Let me show you something else. And then 17 million years later, oh, over here. Let me show you something else wonderful. You will never run out of being awed forever and ever. It won't be boring. You're not going to be up in heaven playing a harp. You'll be playing a banjo, by the way. You're not going to be in heaven playing a harp forever on clouds. That's not true. Just think about it. What if you were able to do whatever you wanted to do, as long as you wanted to do it, and it not ever be wrong? What if you could do it wherever, with whomever, and know that you're always pleasing your Heavenly Father? That's the beginning of life. That's a life you and I, just by being saved, we get the taste. We have the earnest of the Spirit. It's just the beginning of eternity right now. The life which I live is not the same as I was before I learned about the gospel. Believe me, it's very different. I mean, if you actually got eternity in your soul, you can't tell me you wouldn't be different. I'm asking you to receive that life today. You don't try to work hard to do it. Don't come up and say, what do I got to do? Everybody came up to Jesus, what do I got to do to get eternal life? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? And Jesus said, all right. And then they couldn't do it. Then he says, you want to trust me now? And he got on that cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. And everybody else who looks back at that cross says, that's all. That's it. He gave forgiveness, and now I receive it. Go back to John. I got to finish this. John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. In verse 10. John chapter 1 in verse 10. He was in the world. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Wasn't that wonderful? I mean, God became a man walking around. The air about Jesus Christ was not arrogant, didn't walk around. If you watched him, you wouldn't think he was anybody special. He was just that plain. Nobody knew this was the Creator. Verse 11. He came into his own, came to the Jewish people, came into his own, and his own received him not. They killed him. But as many as, what's the next word? Received him. I mean, I may come to your door knocking on the door. And it happens. I knock on the door. You can hear them talking, and they go, shh. I have to walk away. But when Jesus Christ comes walking, you better open the door. When he comes knocking on your heart and saying, are you listening to that Texan? You listen to that guy? He's talking about me. He's right. Will you let me in? The Bible says, as many as received him. You say, well, I take the Eucharist. That's a piece of bread. Well, I've done the catechism. That's just education. Have you received Jesus Christ? And you receive Jesus Christ by crying out to him, asking him to come into your heart. Surrender and say, you win. It's the greatest victory you'll ever enjoy. Let me keep finishing up. Verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm in the family of God now. Even to them that believe on his name. Now, we don't deserve that gift. We all break God's laws. A thief doesn't deserve a cup of tea, does he? You get up at 3 a.m. in the morning, somebody's shuffling downstairs, taking the TV out. You don't come down and says, can I get you a cup of tea before you go? A thief doesn't deserve a cup of tea, does he? An angry man doesn't deserve a wife and a family. A bitter woman doesn't deserve a husband and children. We know that. And yet God offers sinful people eternal life. Jesus sat down with harlots, sinners, publicans. He sat down with the people who are the worst of the worst, not to affirm them, not to make them comfortable. He sat down in there to save them, to get them to know they could live a better life, eternal life. Amen. We don't deserve it.
No.
A sinful person's a liar. My dad taught me a few good things. One of them is never lie. You know, you can work with anybody, but you can't work with a liar. But we're all liars, aren't we? You know, you may not have committed adultery on the outside, but there's stuff going on inside of here you wouldn't want your wife to know about. You wouldn't want your husband or your kids to know about. Those are sinful desires and sinful things that identify us as sinful people. I shouldn't have to convince you a sinner, man. Why would I have to convince anybody you're a sinful person? I've had to actually say, do you think you sin? And I've had people say, I haven't sinned in 32 years. You're on a roll, man. So do not just sit here and think you'll go off into oblivion when you die. Your body will die one day, but your soul will live forever. When Jesus died, he proves there is life after death. Because when he was buried and 3 days later came out of the grave, he was the same person, wasn't he? He left and he came back. There is life after death, folks. I had a guy, I've had several people, I'm asking them, says, you know, give them the gospel, tell them where you're going when you die. And they say, oh, who knows? Nobody ever came back to tell us. And I say, Jesus did. And they go, yeah, beside him. I think he's kind of important. Folks, it is appointed a man once to die. After this, the judgment. You are unique in this world. No cat, no dog, no bear, no squirrel has a soul. You are a soul living in a temporary body. And that soul is going to live, and you don't deserve it. But God offers sinful people eternal life. Why is this so hard to accept? Why is it so complicated in people's minds? I don't know. The Creator God of the universe offers it to you. Will you say it with me one more time? God offers sinful people eternal life. Isn't it beautiful? I've told you some good news this morning. I've told you that there's a gift that God has given. Jesus died in our place under the wrath of Almighty God. So sinful people, not religious people. Remember, the religious people killed Jesus. The politicians killed Jesus. So don't sit there and go, well, I wish I was more religious. I wish I was more politically active. You know what you need to be? Honest. We're sinful people. Just stop thinking you gotta do and say it's done. It's done. He did everything to forgive anybody and make you whole. He did it himself. It's no good, folks. It's no good if you don't believe it. I told you about I had my appendix out when I was 18 years old. I actually drove to the hospital to get to A&E. I thought I had indigestion, but I was in agony. I couldn't sit up, and so I went in, and it was like 2 a.m. And when I got in there, there was one doctor there. He was 24 years old. He had just graduated. I was looking for his nappies. He said, Mr. Ledbetter, we're going to have to operate. I said, not you. Where's the doctor? He said, I'm the only one here tonight. I said, how many of these done? He said, about a dozen. I says, what, on this side of one? He says, done about a dozen of them. You know what I had to do? I had to trust him. I could have said no. He's not old enough. He doesn't even have a beard. Don't even see any facial hair. I could have walked out of there hoping for the best, and I could have died. You know what I had to do? I had to surrender and says, I trust you. And they laid me out on that table, made me sign away my life. And they put that mask on. Why do they say count down from 100? I got 100. I was out. What was I doing? Trust him. I could have walked out of there and missed the chance to live on. Some of you are given a chance today. God is offering sinful people like you a wonderful gift of eternal life. Folks, accept Jesus Christ today. There's no accident that you came today and that this message was preached to you. Every Christian in this room is going, yeah, amen. I wish I could get saved again. Some of you are like, it's uncomfortable. I don't know if I like this. But I hope you realize I've just been reading the gospel. And now it needs to go straight to your heart. And you need to go, yes, I believe it. Let's bow. Stand with me in prayer. Bow your heads in prayer. Nobody looking around. You know how old you have to be to get saved? Old enough to know you're a sinner. old enough for you to know that Jesus loves you and gave himself for you, old enough for you to be able to cry out to him and ask him to save you. Childlike faith. Well, is there anything too bad that I could do that would stop me from being saved? No. You know, the only thing that'll stop you from being able to get saved is death. Once you die, it's all over. There are no second chances. Do you want to really risk that? The thing that got me the night I got saved was when the pastor said, all right, it's on you. If you don't want to get saved and you go out of here, you get in your car and you get into a car accident, you head off into eternity, it's on you. Because I've done my best. I've tried to explain. I've tried to open your eyes. But now you need to open your heart and say, I trust Jesus Christ. But if you won't, that's on you. And I don't want you to walk out of here not knowing Jesus Christ, your Savior. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to do anything. Except right now, in the silence of this moment, cry out to Jesus Christ. Say, God, I believe you. I don't just believe in you. I trust you. I ask you right now, will you save a wretch like me? I will let go of the cookies in the jar. And I will follow you. If you love me that much, I'm going to love you back. I want my life to count. I want to know what life is forever and ever and ever. So I'll trust you. So Father, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I pray for these folks. I know there are plenty of people who are saved, who do know that they know that they know that when they die, they go into your presence. From absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. In an instant, it's done, already finished. They've already had eternal life since the day they were born again. But there's some in here, I guarantee that they trusted their religion, they trusted their best efforts, they've done everything they could to try to be good enough. Lord, would you please convince them they can't be, or else Jesus wasted his time. Only Jesus saves. And Jesus can and will save anyone. Anyone. If they will ask. You don't have to demand. You don't have to beg. You just ask. You've offered sinful people eternal life. May somebody accept it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your hymnal.